King William Island. Latitude unmentionable. But I'm not the first here. They preceded me. They marked the way with bones, white as the ice is. Whiter, maybe. The white of death, of purity. But it was almost a century ago, and sometimes I find their bodies like shattered compasses, like sciences gone mad, pointing in 100 directions at once, the last whirling graph of their agony. How could they know what I now know, a century later, my pockets stuffed with comfortable maps, that this was, after all, an island, that the ice can camouflage the straits and drive men into false channels, drive men into white sliding traps? How could they know? Even stand back and see the nature of the place they stood on, when no man can. No man knows where he stands until he leaves his place, looks back, and knows. Ah, Franklin, I would like to find you now. Your body spread-eagled like a star, a human constellation in the snow. The Earth insists there is but one geography, but then there is another still. The complex, crushed geography of men. You carried all maps within you. Land masses moved in relation to you, as though you created the passage by willing it to be. Ah, Franklin, to follow you one does not need geography, at least not totally, but more of that instrumental knowledge the bones have, their limits, their measurings. The eye creates the horizon. The ear invents the wind. The hand, reaching out from a parka sleeve by touch, demands that the touched thing be. So I've followed you here, like a dozen others, looking for relics of your ships, your men. Here to this awful monastery where you, where Crozier died, and all the men with you died, seeking a passage from imagination to reality, seeking a passage from land to land by sea. Now, in the Arctic night, I can almost suppose you did not die, but are somewhere walking between the icons of ice, pensively like a priest, wrapped in the cold holiness of snow, of your own memory.
I brought them here. 129 men. Led them into this bottleneck. This white asylum. I chose the wrong channel, and the ice folded in around us, gnashing its jaws. Folded in around us. The ice clamps and will not open. For a year it has not opened, though we bash against it like lunatics at padded walls. My ships, the Terror, the Erebus, are learning the meanings of their names. What madman christened them the ships of terror and of hell? In open sea they did 4 knots. Here they rot and cannot move at all. Another winter in the ice. The second one for us. Folds in. Latitude 70 degrees north. November 25th, 1846. The sun has vanished.
Nothing then but to sit out the darkness, the second sterile year, and wait for spring, and pray the straits would crack open and the dash begin again. Pray you could drive the ships through the yielding, melting flows, drive and press on down into the giant virginal strait of Victoria. But perhaps she might not yield. She might not let you enter, but might grip and hold you crushed forever in her stubborn loins, her horrible house, her white asylum in an ugly marriage.
I told him. I told Crozier the spring is coming. But it's wrong somehow. Even in summer, the ice may not open. It may not open. Some of the men have scurvy, Crozier. Their faces, the sick ones, their faces reflect their minds. I can read the disease in their souls. It's a mildewed chart on their flesh. But this is no place to talk of souls. Here the soul becomes the flesh. I may have to send men on foot to where the passage is. To prove it. To prove it is there. That Simpson joins Victoria. That there is a meaning, a pattern imposed on this chaos. A conjunction of waters. A kind of meaning. Even here. Even in this place.
A kind of meaning. Even here. Even in this place. Yes. Yes. We are men. We demand that the world be logical, don't we? But 8 of your men went overland and saw it. Proved it. Proved the waters found each other. As you said, saw the one flowing into the other. Saw the conjunction, the synthesis of faith there in the white metallic cold, and returned to tell you, Franklin, and found you dying in Erebus in the hell of your body, the last ship of your senses. June 11, 1847. Crozier took command. A scientist, understanding magnetism, the pull of elements. But the laws which attract and as easily repel could not pull him from the hell of his science. Crozier, what laws govern this final tug of war between life and death, the human polarities? What laws govern these? The ice is its own argument.
It is September, the end of summer. Summer. There was no summer. Funny how you go on using the same old terms, even when they've lost all meaning. 2 summers, and the ice has not melted. Has the globe tipped? The axis slipped? Is there no sense of season anywhere? September 1847. We await our third winter in the ice.
But the ice, wasn't it drifting south itself like a ship? A ship within a ship.
The ice is drifting south, but not fast enough. It has time. It has more time than we have time. It has eternity to drift south. Ice doesn't eat, doesn't get scurvy, doesn't die, like my men are dying. April 1848. The winter's over. Supplies to last 3 months only. We are leaving the ships for good.
You went overland then? Overland, an ironic word. How can you call this land? It's the white teeth of a giant saw, and men crawl through it like ants through an upright comb. Overland. You set out from the ships in a kind of horrible birth, a forced expulsion from those two wombs. Solid, at least, three-dimensional, smelling of wood and metal and familiar things. Overland.
April 21st, 1848. Good Friday. Our last day in the ships. We pray. We sing hymns. There's nothing else to do. We are, all of us, crucified before an ugly Easter. Civilization, 670 miles away. A 105 men left, 3 months' supplies. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. 670 miles to civilization, 3 months' supplies, 105 men. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us. Scurvy among the men, we leave ship tomorrow. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, 670 miles to civilization. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Our Father.
April 25, 1848. HMS Terror and Erebus were deserted, having been beset since the 12th of September, 1846. The officers and crew, consisting of 105 souls under the command of Captain F.R. Crozier, landed here. The total loss by deaths in the expedition has been to this date 9 officers and 15 men. So you pushed on, and sun and snow, that marriage of agonizing light, assailed you.
In the beginning, God made the light, and saw that it was good. The light, and saw that it was good. My men fall back, blinded, clutching their scorched eyes. Whoever said that hell was darkness? What fool said that light was good and darkness evil? In extremes, all things reverse themselves. In extremes, there are no opposites.
The naked eye dilates, shrinks, goes mad, cannot save itself. You didn't even have those wooden slits the Eskimos wore to censor the sun, to select as much light as the eye can bear. Some science could have tamed the light for you. Not hope, not prayer, but pairs of simple wooden slits. Only those ridiculous instruments you need to keep the cosmos out. I share your irony, Crozier. That and your despair.
To select what we will and will not see. To keep the cosmos out with layers of cloth and strips of leather. That's man, I suppose. An arrogant beast. Whether he is right or wrong is... Oh, hell.
Look, Lord. Look how they fall back behind me. The snow turns red. There are sounds of men puking and sounds of knives scraping bone. They are eating one of their dead. They are whimpering. The snow turns red.
I sent 30 men back to the ships. 30 good men back to the Terror, the Erebus, for food. Somehow. We can go blind, but we must eat in the white waste. Though all our senses fall apart, we must eat. We must still eat. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us the kind of bread and blood and meat we've tasted.
30 good men. On the way back, all of them but 5 died. Knelt before the sun for the last time and died. Knelt like trees in the whiteness and died. On their knees died, or stretched straight out, or sitting in a brief stop, which never ended, died. It does not matter how. 5 made it back to the ships, and there in the womb, in the wooden hulls, died. 5 who could not go back, who could not a second time bear the birth, the going out, the expulsion into pure worlds of ice.
The men do not return with food. We push on. We cannot wait here. The winds wait. The sun waits. The ice waits. But we cannot wait here. To stop is to die in our tracks. To freeze like catatonics in our static houses of bone. Already we look like statues. Marbled, white. The flesh and hair bleaches out. We're cast in plaster. The ice cannot bear the flesh of men. The sun will not tolerate coloring. We begin already to move into the ice, to mimic it. Our Father, who art in heaven, our Father. One night we saw Eskimos, and they were afraid. They gave us a seal. They ran away at night. We have come 200 miles from the ships. We have come 200 miles. There are 30 men left. It is the end. It is the end.
Now there was nothing more to do. No notes to write and leave in cairns, no measurements to take, no readings of any temperatures, save the inner agony of the blood. Now, Crozier, now you come to the end of science.
We scattered our instruments behind us and left them where they fell. Like pieces of our bodies, like limbs we no longer had need for. We walked on and dropped them. Compasses, tins, tools, all of them. Now we come to the end of science. Now we leave ciphers in the snow. We leave our instruments in the snow. It is the end of science. What magnet do I know of which will pull us south? None. None but the last inevitable one. Death who draws. Death who reaches out his pulling arms and draws men in like filings on paper. This is the end of science. We left it behind us. A graph in the snow, a horrible cipher, a desperate code. And the sun cannot read, and the snow cannot either.
No, Crozier, the sun cannot read, and the snow cannot either, but men can. Men like me who come to find your traces, the pieces of your pain scattered in the white vaults of the snow. Men like me who come and stand and learn the agony your blood learned, how the body is bleached and the brain itself turns a kind of pure, purged white. And what happened to the ships? It hurts to talk of it. The Eskimo Kokorteneck knows. Let her tell of it.
Nenumi, they don't come there. They Nanu, Nanu, Nanu Ilan. I remember the day when our fathers found a ship. They were hunting seals, and it was spring, and the snow melted around the holes where the seals breathed. Far away on the ice, my fathers saw a strange shape, a black shape, too great to be seals. They ran home and told all the men in the village, and the next day all came to see this strange thing. It was a ship, and they moved closer and saw it was empty, that it had slept there for a long time. My fathers had never seen white men, and my fathers did not know about ships. They went aboard the great ship as though into another world, understanding nothing. They cut the lines of the little boat which hung from the ship, and it fell broken to the ice. They found guns in the ship, and they did not understand, and they broke the guns and used them for harpoons. They did not understand. They went into the little houses on the deck of the ship and found dead people in beds who had lain there for a long time. Then they went down, down into the hull of the great ship, and it was dark, and they did not understand the dark. And to make it light, they bored a hole in the side of the ship. But instead of the light, the water came in the hole and flooded and sank the ship. And my fathers ran away. Nadjungamikimi. and they did not understand.
And the papers? Franklin's papers. The ship's logs, the reports.
Papers? Oh, yes. The little children found papers in the great ship, but they did not understand papers. They played with them. They ripped them up and threw them into the wind, like birds.
Maybe they were right. What would papers mean to them? Cryptic marks, latitudes, signatures, journals, diaries of despair, official reports nobody needs to read. I've seen the real journals you left us. You, Franklin. You, Crozier. I've seen the skulls of your men in the snow. Their sterile bones arranged around cairns like compasses, marking out all the latitudes and longitudes of men. Now the great passage is open, the one you dreamed of, Franklin, and great white ships sail through it over and over again, packed with cargo and carefree men. It is as though no one had to prove it, because the passage was always there. Or is it that the way was invented, Franklin? That you cracked the passage open with the forces of sheer certainty? Or is it that you cannot know? Can never know where the passage lies between conjecture and reality?